Is 7 minutes to eight. So this question I have for you now. Have we become too overprotective of our children? We obviously want to keep them safe, but has the pendulum swung too far?
Pendulum's very dangerous.
Pendulums are dangerous. Stand back. That's certainly the view of the authors of a new book called 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do.
Among other things, it suggests children should play with fire, use sharp knives to whittle wood away, and even try some underage driving. So just what is the right a balance between protecting children and letting them learn the lessons of life? We spoke to these people in Kent.
We are quite overprotective in many respects, but there's too many other distractions. I don't think children do those things as much anymore, playing out and doing stuff on their own.
I think we're too health and safety conscious sometimes, and you should let children be children and play and get into the troubles that we got in when we were young. I think it's part of life. It's fine to let your children go and explore, you know. Sometimes they've got to hurt themselves to find out that, you know, perhaps I shouldn't do that.
They got to learn, haven't they? He burnt his fingers on the stove at home after I told him not to go near it. It was hot and he touched it and he learnt the hard way. In fact, you can't surround your kids in cotton wool.
I think we're mollycoddling them too much.
Well, I don't know about sticking fingers together,
yes,
with super
not?
Glue. I don't know about that.
It didn't get a
but I do think they should be able to climb trees and walk along, you know, on walls and that sort of thing.
I think that kids need to learn to climb trees and climb relatively low rocks and swim in the sea when they can, are competent, and otherwise they won't set their own limits. You need to let them grow up and explore for themselves.
Well, one of the authors of this book is Gaver Tully, and I spoke to him earlier on the line from San Francisco. He told me how the book has been received by parents.
Reactions have been fairly polarized. We get, by and large, more than 90% positive, supportive, it's about time kind of feedback, and then about 10% that think we must be insane.
What do the lawyers think? Because are you not suggesting that children do things that are dangerous, and if they come to some harm, wouldn't you find yourself in court?
Well, as provocative as the title is, you only have to look inside and read a few pages to see that the book is really about safety, and the ultimate goal of the project is to help kids be safer, more self-reliant children.
Give us some examples from the book, what you suggest children might like to do.
Well, number one of the most popular ones, because perhaps it's so simple, topic number one is lick a 9-volt battery.
Yeah, but you also suggest that children might like to drive a car.
Well, every child really wants to drive a car. And the point of that topic, which is topic seven, is to give children a sense of what driving really is and to give them that empowering moment of controlling this giant conveyance that's been carrying them around all of their lives, really, that they took for granted. Now, we're not saying take your child out and let them drive on the highway by any means. The procedure that we lay out involves finding a safe, empty parking lot, setting the child on your lap, and just letting them steer. So it's a controlled experience with very well understood boundaries.
Hmm. Let me give the listeners some other ideas. For instance, you're quite keen on whittling wood with a sharp knife, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I am. I believe that the pocket knife is really the first universal tool that we're given. And, you know, when you learn to use that tool, it can be a screwdriver, a spatula, a knife, a mirror. They're all ways to get at and understand the world that you live in and to explore it on your own terms.
Mm.
Learning to shape a piece of wood or something like that is not only a sort of meditative practice for children, it's also an empowering one. They can change the world using the tool.
And, of course, you do the usual climbing trees and that sort of thing, the sort of things that I used to do when I was a child, but a bit frowned on these days.
Yes, and it really begs the question of what actually changed? If children are actually safer now than they ever have been in terms of access to ready medical and high quality jungle gyms and things like that. Why is climbing a tree any more dangerous now than it was, you know, 40 years ago?
Mm. My favourite, though, is number 46, how to stick your fingers together with super glue. Because we've all wanted to do it. We've all been told you mustn't get this glue anywhere near your fingers, otherwise they'll stick together, and you tell us how to do it.
Yes, yeah, step by step. We're going to get you to glue your forefinger and your thumb together, and for the next 2 to 4 hours, you are going to experience life with a minor handicap. And now everyday tasks that you once took for granted are each going to be a little puzzle, an obstacle that you have to overcome. And in that process, you're not only going to develop a new mental map of your abilities, your mind is going to start to figure out how to do these things automatically. You're also going to develop a sense of empathy for people who maybe live with permanent disabilities.
That's Gaver Tully, author of 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do, including sticking their fingers together with superglue.
And licking batteries.
Yes.
Was he all there?
We're asking you this morning, what dangerous things did you do when you were a child? Or what dangerous things would you allow your child to do these days? Is there a big difference?
Yeah, do people perceive? Yeah, the perception, I think, of danger is very different. Yeah. We used to just go off on bikes for days, didn't we, when we were children?
With a pack lunch and a map. So we want to know, what did you do that was dangerous when you were a child? I bet you did some dangerous things, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I told you, I did accidentally steal a milk float and drive it into a wall.
Yes, I mean, did you get in trouble with the police for that?
No, but my mother really hurt me.
Well, you probably deserved it.
I didn't sit down for about three days.
Chinese burn smart, don't they?
Oh, they do, don't they, just. Huge problems if you're heading into London this morning. Severe delays.
It's breakfast with John and Claire, 13 minutes to 10. We're changing tack a bit now. We mentioned earlier, there's this book out, 50 Dangerous Things You Should Let Your Children Do, including lick batteries, drive cars, climb trees, play with fire, knives.
Yeah, whittling wood.
Yeah, sticking your fingers together with super glue, all sorts of strange things. We've got quite a few texts coming in about things that people did. What's this one? Hi, John and Claire. I used to suck petrol into a bicycle pump. I can't believe I'm reading this. Light the end and then squirt it out. Quite impressive. Not sure it's a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
I was wondering whether we should read it out or not, but, you know, that's very dangerous, to be honest.
Well, don't do them. We're just saying, we're not condoning this at all. Adam in Larkfield has texted in to say, something dangerous I did as a child, as I think all teenage boys do at some point, is spraying an aerosol can and lighting it.
But the thing is, I think the answer is, it can blow up. That's the thing. They are, I suppose, right on the edge of, even those wouldn't be in the book, 50 Dangerous Things That Children Should Be Allowed To Do. They wouldn't be in that book, would they? No.
And what they're saying is basically just push the parameters a little bit and let them do things and don't be too nervous about them. You know, we were talking to somebody earlier from Rossborough saying, you know, when your kids get to, you know, 8, 9, 10, you know, maybe drop them off 200 yards from the school gate and let them walk. Don't just drop them off at the school gates all the time, because it'll teach them road awareness, teach them independence, all that kind of thing. And I mean, it's amazing that that's something we would consider to be dangerous these days. But yeah. I guess it just shows how nervous we all are. But the dangerous things that you did as a child, John. What did you do?
Well, I did nothing really.
Usual stuff.
Riding my bike. I mean, I was allowed to ride my bike sort of 10, 12 miles from home when I was only about 10.
Yeah.
No problem.
That's a long way. I mean, I grew up in the middle of the countryside and we literally used to disappear just after breakfast and come back at lunchtime.
Sometimes in the evening.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, all day. Tess is in Whitstable. What did you get up to, Tess?
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, I wasn't quite 10 years old and my friend and I went to school in the morning, but at lunchtime we decided that we were going to play truant. Having already told the teacher that I was going to be at home looking after my baby sister, because my mother had to go to an important meeting.
Right.
So off we go to my friend's house, who lived in a sort of a mini block of flats. I think it was about 4 stories high. We got fed up with playing in her bedroom. We went upstairs onto the top flat roof, and where there were chimneys, you know, strung along, and also washing line. And we took some of that down, hooked it round the chimneys, and we were pushing each other on the swing. Well, she got rather overexcited, and I went out over the road.
Ooh.
So you're swinging on a bit of rope out from the chimney, out onto the... Oh, my word.
Yes. Well, I screamed at her to stop, and I jumped off the swing as quickly as I could. But then, on top of that, my dear mother, because bearing in mind this is just after the end of the war and you couldn't get prams in those days, and we lived in Westminster then, and my mother had walked to Kensington High Street to pick up a pram for my baby sister, and of course had to walk home with it, and decided to stop off at the school I went to pick me up from school. And all the little girls came out and said, oh, Tess isn't here, she's at home looking after the baby.
Oh, no, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't. And of course, I thought I'd got away with it and went home at school time, and who was sent to bed without any tea?
That'll be you then.
It was.
Tess, you went on to have a glittering career as a stunt woman, I was going to say. Could have done.
Tess, did you find that you treated your children, you know, did you, you know, wrap them up a bit more than you were wrapped up, if you
no.
know what I mean? Oh, no, you let them go for it as well.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we had three girls, and they were quite... One of them, the youngest one, was adventurous. The other two weren't. But, no, they were fine. They knew their limits, but they were pretty good kids. Yeah, I must say that. I mean, in those days, by then, we'd moved to Sycup, and Jane used to walk down to Bexley Village to go mucking out the horses every Saturday. She used to walk from where we lived, all the way down to Bexley Village, and it didn't worry us in those days.
So, well, Tess, thank you very much for joining us. Good to hear that you've given your kids as much freedom as you had yourself with that chimney-swinging escapade. Tony has emailed the show to say, I'll give you a few examples of things I did as a kid when I was trying to emulate Dennis the Menace. One, fell off the roof at the Odeon Cinema in Blackfen just before it was demolished to make way for the Safeways. He says, I was saved by my granddad's leather belt holding my jeans up when it snagged on a rusty protrusion. Oh, he got a nasty gash on his leg. He also let all the pets out of that open-air cage in Bexley High Street when he was around about the same age. This caused chaos as my mum and others tried to recapture them, hopping rabbits all over the road. It held up the traffic for about 2 hours. Also got banned from Heinz department store in Bexley for climbing up on top of a set of steps and dislodging large bales of materials which crashed to the floor in front of me. He says, because of my scooter trial, I don't know what that means, which was still wrapped in brown paper outside the shop, and a subsequent collision with a policeman, I was finally suspended from visiting Bexley indefinitely.
I'm not surprised.
And also find... Oh, no, he fell into Danson Park Lake whilst trying to catch frogs and then fell in a pile of wet cement on the building site on the way home. Unbelievably accident-prone. And number six, when I was a parent myself, I took my kids to Hamleys at Christmas. I swear I only touched one of the teddies on the shelf of about 500 whilst looking at a giant Garfield, and the whole lot came crashing down around my ears. The kids loved it. Thank you, Tony, for dangerous, dopey things you did as a child, and good to hear that he's still doing them.
Yes, parents can rest... This is from a text from Alan. Parents can rest assured that if they let their children lick batteries, there's no charge. Oops. Eileen in Westbrook. Hello, Eileen.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning to both of you.
What have you been up to, you naughty girl?
Well, this is years ago. I mean, I'm 65 now, but in the school holidays, my brother and cousin and I, where we lived was called Hadley Woods, and we used to go up there all day, just disappear. And there was a chap up there, he used to flash at everybody.
Oh, my word.
Well, we thought it was hilariously funny.
Oh, did you?
And my brother, being a crack shot with a catapult...
Oh, my
said,
word.
Next time he does coming. It, we'll hit him. And so he did it, and we hit him, and we ran like the clappers. We never told my mother. I mean, she didn't know what was going on at all, but we thought it was great fun.
Shouldn't laugh, really.
Can you imagine what it would be like today?
Well, you see, I had a... Well, yeah, no, absolutely. God, blimey.
Well, it cuts out the middleman, cuts out the cause, doesn't it? You just the children yeah. mete out their own justice. And well, he didn't do that for a while, did he?
Well, absolutely not. And we thought it was great fun. We couldn't see anything wrong with it at all. We thought it was funny.
Eileen, thanks very much for joining us. And as do you have children yourself?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, I had a son.
Okay, and did you let him kind of, you know, do dangerous stuff? Did you give him freedom?
Yes, he used to do whatever he wanted to do, actually. I think it's important that children get to learn to make their own mistakes.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, learn where that line is and not to cross it, rather than just having it kind of imposed on them all the time. Yeah.
Thank you, Eileen. If you'd like to get in touch by text, 07786 203 967. You can also email... John.Warnett. No, it's my older email. John,
you can
and Claire.
Do both.
You can do
both.
That. John and Claire at bbc.co.uk. What's this one?
It's Lynn in Ashford saying that when she was younger, she ran across what she thought was a dry sewer and it turned out to be soggy.
Oh.
Oh, Lord, it went right up to a waist.
Oh!
And the fire service had to be called out. They wouldn't let her get in the car afterwards because she smelt so bad. Oh, how mean is that?
That's
she
terrible.
Had to stand outside
absolutely
in the soggy clothes.
Yeah. We're looking at dangerous things you did as a child. And whether you've... maybe you had a fairly sort of free and easy childhood where you were allowed to do lots of stuff. But when it came to your children, it's having that confidence, isn't it? Saying... Yeah. Actually, no. I think the one I always remember is the first time you let your child go down to the shops on their own, and I guarantee that every parent is standing at the gate, not so you can see them peeking around the hedge, just to keep an eye on them. So they're only going to the corner shop to buy some sweets or whatever. But you want to, you know, you want to watch them. And as I said earlier, actually, you know, if you look at the figures for, you know, abduction of children, the streets are actually safer now than they were 40 years ago.
Yeah, so our anxiety of things going wrong far outweighs the reality of that actually happening. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a neurotic mother.
Yeah, well, of course
I'm
you are.
I'm so neurotic.
Are you?
Oh, yeah,
do,
I am.
Do you wrap them up a bit?
I don't, yeah, probably. Yes, I do. And it's not. It's obviously not great for them, but, you know.
And what about your other half? Is he a bit more laissez-faire about it?
Well, they're still pretty young. They're sort of six and under. So, yeah. They're, you know, we're not going to let them walk to school on their own. Not at this stage, anyway.
No.
But it'd be interesting when those kind of, when those sort of landmarks come up, you know, how we'll both react to it. Because I think I will be more neurotic, certainly.
I certainly walked to primary school on my own. I'm not saying I did when I was five, but I certainly... By the time I got to leaving, I mean, I was 9 or 10.
Yeah, how far was that?
About a mile and a half.
Yeah.
It's quite a long way.
Yeah.
Seemed like an awful, it seemed like about 10 miles, but it was only about a mile and a half.
You had it tough when you were young.
Oh,
you
did, yeah.
Janie has emailed the show to say, listen to this. AD placed a candle about a foot away from him, this is in their childhood, across the table, and sprayed the contents of an aerosol can at it. A 6-foot flame, apparently, very impressive.
Very
unfortunately,
dangerous.
His mother walked in the door at that very moment, not amused. And also, Janine says, we both rode our bikes for miles, often being away from home all day. Also into climbing trees and scrumping as well. So, yeah, just we had so much more freedom.
Kenny Mason, when I was 12, I climbed an archway bridge in Highgate, North London, with a couple of friends. It's a 100-foot drop onto the road below. I'd never let my kids do it now, no.
I know that bridge. Have you driven
that
bridge?
Yeah, I know
that.
It's very high,
isn't it? It's huge, yeah.
And the other thing I did, I remember doing, is coming down Shooter's Hill, which is a hill in Eltham. It's a very, between Eltham and Welling.
Treacherous hill.
Yeah, with on a bike with no brakes.
What happened at the end of that little story?
Well, I overtook a few cars on the way down, which is a bit worrying. And I worked out that by the time I got to the bottom, it would slow down eventually and I'd be fine.
Yeah.
Which I was, actually. But it did start to wobble quite a bit because it was going at such a rate of knots.
Yeah.
So it was a bit scary.
I can imagine. There is a nice little, I think a little phone call coming on the screen if our little crack production team could just scroll that back. I like the sound of this. Steve in London said, we used to put fireworks in the handlebars of our bikes and then light them as we were riding. Around. That's more like Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
You know, an early version of that, really. Very creative, Steve.
Here we are then. Hi, DJ.
Which one of us is that?
I don't know. It's from Lawrence. At between 8 and 10, I would walk to my village junior school because my parents didn't have a car. At 11, I would cycle to secondary school 11 miles away, 22-mile round trip, and my parents didn't worry. I got knocked over by a car twice, but I learned to roll and never hit my head, though I suffered some scraped and flattened packed lunches.
Probably broke your fall, Lawrence.
Did well to grow up into the man you are today, Lawrence.
Oh,
to be
this
honest.
Is lovely. The last bit, the most dangerous thing was probably running away from home, where I stayed out for 3 days and nights and slept in a wood under a tractor. But when I swallowed my pride and came back, my mum and dad made me apologise before they'd let me into the house. They're hardcore, aren't they?
They are. That'll learn you.
That'll learn you. Say sorry.
Yeah. Anyway.
We were worried, sort of.
We hope we're glad you all made it to adulthood.
Yeah, we are.
We're back tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Andy's here now. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to the pair of you.